Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus tells his disciples to go out and proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. That would seem like a tough message to peddle this week. I watch videos of people leaping from a burning tenement building in London that was deemed unsafe, and many of their deaths preventable. I read of congressmen being shot while practicing for a charity baseball game in the cute little neighborhood where we used to go for ice cream when we were in seminary. I heard debate about how many millions of people it would be acceptable to drop from the ranks of the insured in the ongoing healthcare debate. I saw another innocent black man shot without cause, go without justice. And we've gotten more than 20 phone calls at the church in the last week asking for assistance of various kinds because our social safety net has disintegrated as our multi-year budget stalemate continues, leaving the marginalized hopeless and helpless. It doesn't really feel like the kingdom of God is very near. But there is another part of Jesus' speech that I think rings true and relevant in this moment. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them. Compassion is a powerful word. In the Greek, it's not an intellectual thought or even a surface emotion like sympathy, but rather something that's felt deep in your own body when you look on someone whom your heart weeps for. It literally means to suffer with the other. That's why it has this connotation of something you actually experience deep in your gut. It's the very characteristic of God that makes the incarnation of Jesus Christ both necessary and logical. God looked with compassion on humanity and our suffering. And God chose to enter into our world and literally suffer with us in the person of Jesus. Displaying that divine characteristic of God in the flesh, Jesus looks on the crowd and he feels their pain in his own body. And so he goes about curing their diseases and healing their sicknesses. And then he tells his disciples to go and do likewise, to proclaim good news, to make people believe that the kingdom of God has come near, but to do it by loving others so deeply in their own hearts that they enter into their suffering and seek to heal it, to cast out their demons and restore their lepers, raise their dead, and make their sick whole again. In his book, The Wounded Healer, the great spiritual writer Henry Nouwen talks about just this sort of compassion and its ability to heal the world. Henry Nouwen was himself a type of wounded healer. He began his adult life as a brilliant scholar and Catholic theologian. He was one of the world's leading voices on liberation theology, the idea that Jesus' message was primarily focused on liberating the oppressed, particularly the poor held down by unjust economic systems. He taught at Harvard, Notre Dame, and Yale, but he always felt like an outcast. He speaks of his deep loneliness that made him feel like he didn't belong in the society around him. So he left the world of academia behind to become the chaplain of a community called L'Arche. It was a place for the seriously mentally or developmentally disabled. They were people who felt they didn't have a place in society and had left much of the world behind to live in a semi-sheltered community. They were sheep without a shepherd, but he had compassion on them. He just matched his suffering to theirs. There was one particular man named Adam who could not speak or even easily move on his own. Nouwen sat with him for hours, over years, forming a deep bond. Now one recognized him as one of God's beloved creations and was able to make him feel that, to know it as good news, to experience the kingdom of God having drawn near to him. And in that relationship, Naaman's own woundedness, his own isolation that led to suffering, became the source of healing. He went on to write dozens of spiritual classics that have helped countless people. And about that sort of relationship, he once said, "When we honestly ask ourselves which person in our lives means the most to us, we often find that it is those who, instead of giving advice, solutions, or cures, have chosen rather to share our pain and touch our wounds with a warm and tender hand." That's compassion that's worthy of the example of Jesus. And it's what heals the world and makes people believe again that the kingdom of heaven has come near. In Paul's letter to the Romans that we read today, he has this rather famous passage that says, "Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit." I'm not sure I think all suffering does lead in such a straight line to a place of hope that does not disappoint us, because it reminds us of God's love. I think some suffering in the world does the very opposite, robs us of hope and makes us doubt the existence of love itself. But I do think the type of suffering that exists in the notion of godly compassion does lead to hope. That type of suffering we enter into to truly love another person, to suffer with them so that they know they are not alone, that, I think, does lead to endurance, because it's easier to hold on when you're not alone. And it produces character, makes you into the type of person that God wants you to be. And that creates a hope that does not disappoint, because it is the very manifestation of God's love, active and alive in our world. Jesus commands his disciples, both ancient and modern, to proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And he tells them to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. These are how we make people believe that God's kingdom is near. Can you cure their sickness? And if not, can you at least sit with them in it? Hold their hand while they get better? Can you be unafraid to step into the isolation or depression of another that sickness often brings with it and tell them that they are not alone? Can you give hope again to those who have experienced death? Can you be the widow who walks with someone who has lost a spouse, lost a very part of themselves, and say, "I've been here before, and it never goes away, but it does get better, and I'll stay with you until you begin to feel whole again"? Cleansing the leper was as much about bringing an outcast back into society as it was about healing the skin disease. Can you befriend the outcast? Can you tap into your own experience of not belonging, of isolation, and offer to be the bridge they need back to community? Can you be the person who is brave enough to recognize familiar demons in other people and help them to push them out of their lives for good? Can you say, "I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I'll sponsor you as you go through the steps"? Or, "I too dealt with deep and unresolved anger issues, and I see it in you, and I see it festering, but I'll help you move toward letting go and becoming who you long to be." These are the things our world needs. These are the means of proclaiming good news in the very situations I noted all occurred this week. Jesus doesn't send his disciples out to teach people anything in this passage. Notably, he doesn't make them memorize a speech or give them the right core principles to indoctrinate new followers or anything even vaguely like that. He sends them out to make people believe that the kingdom of heaven is near because they actually experience it. They know a person who has real compassion for them in their circumstances, who steps into their world and suffers with them until it gets better. As Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The need for this is desperate in our world, but there are few brave enough to step in. There are few people who are willing to look on others with real compassion, who are willing to embody Jesus in this world. But that's what Christ is calling all of his followers to do. This is how we heal our world and how we find healing ourselves. We become wounded healers, and in doing so, we draw the kingdom of heaven nearer among us. Amen.